Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 3:34. Sports gambling becoming legal. Slowly. Nationwide. We just had a book open at one of our casinos. So we thought, man, if you guys haven't tried out the Action Network yet, their content from the gambling perspective is fantastic. It's worth it. Check out the Action Network. And so we thought we'd do a little gambling segment on college football each Friday this year, and making his first appearance is Colin Wilson of the Action Network, who joins us now. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I love the state of Oregon, and I'm glad that gambling is legalized for you guys, because it's been quite a transition. I've traveled to Oregon for a number of years, and like usually it's like a slot machine behind a curtain, and it's like a said thing, and now it's legalized, so it's good news.
Oh, it is great, and it's only going to get better. I don't know, man. Let's do this before we get into the games. You know, help the novice, and maybe a lot more people, a lot of our listeners getting into it, sports gambling now that it's legal. What strategies or, I don't know, ideas are the most important to someone betting football? Is it just simply pray or what? What advice can you give?
Well, prayer never put any extra money in my wallet. So I think what you need to do is take a good hard look at analytics and numbers. Stick to numbers. Treat teams like stocks. Treat it like you would the stock market. Know when it's a bull stock, know when it's a bear stock, know when a team is peaked, know when there's no value in the number. And I think most importantly, know when not to bet, because sometimes numbers are good. You just bet numbers and don't bet teams. Don't get wrapped up into the name on the jersey. It's more about the number, and really that's building a stock market, and you just need to know when to buy and when to sell those teams. So treat it that way and treat it emotion. Don't have any emotions into it, and your sports gambling will be much more profitable.
The books are so good, man. I mean, you see these games with like 38 point spreads, and it comes down to the final play. I mean, how do you get an edge against them? You're talking about analytics, but what specifically? Because they're so, it just seems like even with the over unders, they're just amazing.
Yeah, about 2007, I was struggling in my sports gambling career, and I couldn't understand, like, as a guy that's got an engineering degree and a math degree, I couldn't figure out how these books were so much smarter than me. And then finally, I started developing my own power rating system, and I did exactly the advice I gave out, was started to treat it like a market, where I understand that over 100 times that I take -6.5, that's going to pay off at least 15 more times if I was to take -7. So shopping for the best number, having many ways to get out and get a better number, managing your money. If you bet $10, make sure you bet $10 every time. I mean, you should only bet more than 1-3% of your entire gambling roll. Let's say if you had like $100 in your pocket and that's all you had to gamble, you should only be betting about $1 per game. So, I mean, proper money management, knowing when a number is bad and knowing when to stay off, I think that takes time. That takes a lot of time, patience. It's hard, because last night I wanted Green Bay pretty bad. I had a feeling that they were going to win, but I thought the number at 3 wasn't good enough for me. And, sometimes you have to pass.
Yeah. And it also takes fewer drinks, I'm guessing, too, because it's easy to start chasing.
If you're going to mix in alcohol with your gambling, which is fine, I've done it before too, you just want to make sure you're not betting an amount that you'll actually miss. I mean, just treat it like when you go to one of the casinos, and you're convinced that you're just going to give the casino $100 to blackjack. Just treat your money that way, that you just don't care if it comes back.
This is Colin Wilson. He's with the Action Network, and we're going to get to know Colin well here in Portland over the football season. He'll be joining us every Friday at this time. All right, let's get into it, man. We got two Pac-12 games already. Cal still doesn't have much of an offense, it looks like, and they have to travel up to Husky Stadium. Washington's favored by 2 touchdowns. How much value is there on a quality defense that Cal has here?
Yeah, this is a really big game. I think it's not being talked about enough. Cal actually beat Washington last year, 12-10. It was one of the few games that Cal had where they didn't have any turnovers. And that's really the key to all of Cal's games these days, because their defense is just lights out. It's one of the best in the nation. They can compete with anybody. But can we get the offense and Garbers, and can we get the quarterback to not have any turnovers? That's the big problem. They had multiple turnovers against UC Davis this past weekend. They were still able to win by 14, but should have won by a lot more if they wouldn't have turned the ball over. And that was a really good UC Davis team, by the way, for on an FCS level. Washington, on the other hand, all fresh faces on the defense, a bunch of new faces on the offense. They had no problem taking care of Eastern Washington, who's known for their offense and not really for their defense. So I've got this number specifically set at about 10.5. So when the number opened up, it went from 12.5 up to 13. I was able to put what I call a unit. That's how much I bet per game. I was able to put some on 13, and then it got to 14. I bet some more. And so it's finally seeing a little bit of retraction. I wouldn't be surprised if this closed at Washington minus 12.5 or Washington minus 12 possibly. But the game is really all about how many turnovers is the Cal offense going to have, because Justin Wilcox knows Chris Peterson very well. Justin Wilcox, the Cal head coach, was Chris Peterson's defensive coordinator at Boise State from 2006 to 2009. These coaches have a personal relationship. They like each other a lot. They know each other very well.
All right, so Cal, pretty good bet as long as they don't turn it over, if I'm hearing
you
right.
As long as they don't turn it over.
Yeah, which is always a big if. Plenty of us here were high on Oregon. Hopefully you didn't get screwed by them like I did. But do they bounce back against Nevada? I think the spread is something around 24.
I actually had money on Auburn. I had bought Auburn minus 2 way early in the summer, somewhere around May. And I had a feeling it was a game that was going to close at 3, so I thought at Auburn minus 2, that'd be a pretty good, you know, number to have in my back pocket, but it closed at 4. And Gus Malzahn's decision not to go for 2, and, you know, it just kind of ruined every Oregon bettor out there. Yeah. I think Auburn was the wrong side, and the win was a product of Gus Malzahn's decision not to go for 2. So tough to back, you know, to be back behind Oregon. It's a similar situation with what happened in Oregon and Stanford last year. I had plenty down on Oregon, and what happened at the end of that game with Stanford was just heartbreaking. You would think that the Nevada game, they're going to come out, they're going to be fired up. Nevada was a fraud in their box score. When I say fraud, I don't mean like the team is a fraud or the coach is a fraud. What I mean is they won a game against Purdue where they were outgained in total yards. Turnovers played a big factor. They shouldn't have won the game against Purdue. So they were a box score fraud, and Oregon should take advantage of that.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. I can't imagine USC-Stanford is easy to handicap because both starting quarterbacks are out. How do you view that game?
Very hard to handicap. I had the game set at 3.5, and that was with Costello playing and without JT Daniels, which we knew pretty quick on Sunday that he was not going to be playing this week. But the KJ Costello news, he's worth 3 points to Stanford. He is an excellent quarterback. He knows his receivers well. He's always had success with them. And I think him going out and Mills coming in is about a 3-point difference in the power rating. And that really hasn't shown up in the market. It was sitting at minus 1 last night. The news came out. It's now sat at 3. I expect that this number will go up to 3.5 or 4 by the time kickoff is tomorrow night. I think it's more of a change for Stanford to handle than it is for USC. And the major handicap on this, whether Costello and JT Daniels were going to play or not, USC is just a more physical team in the trenches on the offensive line and the defensive line than Stanford is. You take away the quarterbacks from both these teams, I think it becomes even a bigger advantage for USC that they can control the ground game on both sides.
Beavers, 7-point underdogs or close to in Hawaii, late one tomorrow night. Any scenario where you take Oregon State this weekend?
I have money on Oregon State, and I have to say, let me preface this. I'm a Razorback, and Oregon State beat us in the College Baseball World Series. So every time I see Oregon State, I have memories of dropping foul balls and losing the national right. championship. So, but no, I have money on Oregon State. This is a complete overreaction. I don't understand how Hawaii is an 11-point underdog to Arizona, win the game, and then they're a 7-point favorite to Oregon State. So that would tell you that there's an 18-point difference between Oregon State and Arizona. It's not. In my power ratings, they're 6, and other trusted power ratings that are out there that people look at, I've never seen a gap between Oregon State and Arizona greater than 8. So for this line to be an 18-point difference that Oregon State is the gap between them and Arizona is just not correct. Hawaii should not be this big of a favorite. There's also Oregon's best feature is their running back. Their running game is excellent. I expect them to do that a lot more. I mean, Oklahoma State was just at another gear, at another level with an amazing offensive coordinator when they came to town. This is a step down. I mean, this is going to be easy to run on Hawaii. It's going to be easier to throw the ball against Hawaii. I expect a lot of success out of Oregon State, and I actually like the under in this game. I think 77 is a little bit too high, and I project it in the high 60s.
Tell me you don't bet college baseball.
Of course I do. College baseball is a growing gambling community. It's small. But when you get pitchers like you had the rotation of pitchers that Oregon State had during their 2018 run was amazing. And Arkansas, for that matter, was too. And then you look at Kumar Rocker, who pitched for Vanderbilt this past year in 2019. He took Vanderbilt all the way to the championship. So I think the thing with college baseball is if you're going to bet on it, just make sure that you've got the best pitcher in the game, because that's what the biggest factor is in college baseball.
All right, a couple games nationally. Clemson favored by 17. They're hosting Texas A&M. Is it possible this is the toughest game Clemson will play all year?
I think so. I had a little bit of worries preseason about Florida State, and it just seems like they're not able to figure things out. And Willie Taggart is throwing the strength and conditioning coach under the bus, saying that they're not, the Florida team was not properly hydrated and not conditioned for the Florida heat. So it's already looking like, things are not going well down there. They kind of, gave it up to Boise there in the second half. So I was worried about Florida State, but now I'm not worried about anybody in the ACC. So that makes this Texas A&M game probably the biggest on Clemson's schedule. I have a feeling that Clemson not only just covers the current 16.5 or 17 that's out there, they may go even farther than that. There's a lot of money on Texas A&M right now, and a lot of people are looking at last year's game and what Kellen Mond did. But people don't realize that Clemson's weakness last year was their secondary. Everybody in the secondary in that game number two for them was brand new faces. Well, now the secondary for Clemson is experienced, and they're highly talented, and they're going to have Kellen Mond more of a game. He's not going to have as many windows to throw into. He's going to be on the run a lot more. And on the flip side of that, Trevor Lawrence now goes up against a Texas A&M secondary that lost their two top safeties from last year. So I think he's going to have more success in the passing game, and I like Clemson in this game to cover the spread.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. He'll be with us here on The Fan 3:30 every Friday. A couple other ones I want to ask you about before we cut you loose. Texas hosts LSU. LSU's favored by about 6.5. Both coaches I read are great as underdogs. I saw Tom Herman is something like 12-2 against the spread as an underdog, and I think that old Mr. Bayou down there is like 6-2 against the spread as an underdog. Are those numbers right? And who do you favor?
Yeah, they're great underdog. They're great motivator coaches. Probably the best underdog coaches in all of college football. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that is as good as getting their teams up when they're feeling like they're being disrespected. I'm taking LSU in this one. I do have to say that I had this at LSU at pick and -3 and -4, but that doesn't help anybody that's listening because the number right now is 6.5. The number has grown that much this week. It has gone from a 3.5 up to 6.5. I think odds makers just know that LSU, the way that they looked in their games the other day, although Texas had a whole bunch of success, they only made Louisiana Tech punt twice in the game. That's it. The Texas defense only made La Tech punt twice. They only had one sack. They had zero quarterback pressures. This LSU offense is now being run, and the game is being called by Joe Brady. He was with the New Orleans Saints. He is coming in, and he's got Joe Burrow not only throwing downfield, but he's got them hitting targets out in the flats. He hit 12 catches by running backs last week. So if Texas decides to try to get aggressive and come after Joe Burrow, he's now mastered the fact of hitting his running back out in the flats. LSU is now multidimensional on offense, and their defense might be the absolute best in the nation. I don't believe in Texas's defense and the special teams. Don't ever forget about special teams. LSU was top 5 last year. Texas ranked 59th overall in special teams. There's a huge advantage for LSU here.
UCLA is an 8-point favorite against San Diego State. After watching them last week, I don't think this should be an 8-point favorite over anyone. Why are they so overrated? Or are they? I mean, you may like them. I don't know.
It's funny is if you watch the San Diego State game, you wouldn't think that they would need to be within 14 points of anybody. They scored 6 points against Weber State, and that's not a knock on Weber State. Weber State's a very good FCS team. So, I mean, San Diego State's defense is legit. It always has been. They run the 3-3-5 scheme down there. It confuses a lot of people if they haven't seen it before. But San Diego State is moving from a pro-style offense to a spread offense, and they want it to still be a rush attack, which is crazy. I've never heard of a rush attack coming out of a spread offense, but they only put up 6 points on the board as a result of two field goals. But you look at UCLA, I'm not betting this game because I don't trust UCLA either. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is just a fumble waiting to happen at any moment. The defense was being pushed around by Cincinnati. They got whipped in the box score. There's nothing for me that I like about UCLA whatsoever. If San Diego State can find a pulse on offense, if they can figure out this spread attack that's going to be a rushing-based attack, and they can put up points, then I like them in this game and possibly to win outright. But there's nothing about UCLA I like.
And the last one was Tennessee. I know we got to cut you loose, man. I appreciate your time. But Tennessee last week was awful. They lost to Georgia State. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that they are back at home, and they've got BYU. Tennessee favored by 4. Is there a side there?
Yeah, take BYU. You know, they just can't beat Utah. It's a curse 9 years in a row, and they have the better trenches, and Tennessee's going to be in a lot of trouble come Tuesday.
I love it. Colin, thank you so much, man. My partner will be back next week, too, so we'll add another one to this, and we look forward to talking to you every Friday. Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.